Becoming the New Wineskin by Russ Painter is brought to you by Kingdom Training Institute. Our goal is life transformation through education and mentoring.
So we're continuing to talk about the new wineskin. As I've been saying, we are, I believe, in a very strategic moment of church history where the Lord is doing some pretty amazing things to break much of the body of Christ out of the routines that we've just gotten comfortable with, right? With typical church services and all those sorts of things, which, you know, nothing wrong with them, but what if they're not all that the Lord has in mind? You know, and that's really what we've been exploring and we'll continue to explore. And so today I want to talk with you about next to the Holy Spirit and Jesus in terms of their influence on, you know, our gatherings, the next most crucial component of any new covenant gathering, any new wineskin, well, that would be you and me. Because without you and me, nothing's going to happen. You know, it's interesting how the Lord chose to limit himself to work through us, right? He can do anything he wants, whenever he wants, but he has chosen to limit his activities here on this earth through us, the body of Christ. And so, hey, we need to learn what that looks like. What are our responsibilities? What is our role, right? And so for me, the most, easy and consistent way to understand the difference between where we are under the new covenant and where things were under the old is to look at the priesthood. As we know, I'm sure you know, that we have been labeled by God as a royal priesthood. And that label, that designation, is applicable to every believer, every follower of Jesus is also a royal priest. Yet, I don't know, that's not a concept I think that many are familiar with. I'm sure you've heard it, right? Maybe you did hear some teaching or preaching on it, but what does it look like, right? What does it look like? Oh my goodness. Well, again, I think the easiest way to understand it is to look at the differences between what they did under the old covenant and what we do under the new, right? That's different. So under the old covenant, there was only a certain segment of the population who were allowed to function as priests or Levites or, you know, in other words, there was kind of an elite class of folks that were given those kinds of responsibilities. And the rest of Israel, not so much. They just had to come and, you know, present their sacrifices and participate in the various festivals and feasts and whatnot that were led by the priests and the leadership. And so that paradigm was done away with when God instituted the new covenant in Christ. All of that was no longer done, right? But I think you can also recognize that the church kind of went back to that format where you've got a certain segment of the population who are the ministers, who are, you know, in effect, the priests. They're the ones that lead and do all the work of ministry. And as we all know, right, Ephesians 4 is so clear that it's the entire body that is tasked with the work of ministry. That's what the fivefold leaders are supposed to do, is equip the saints for the work of ministry. So we've got to kind of start there, right, that was the Lord's design and desire from the very beginning, that every single person who is a follower of Christ, who has surrendered, your life to Him, you are qualified as a minister, as a servant, as someone who has a priestly calling, but not like what you see in the Old Covenant, and really not like you see demonstrated in the typical organized church environment. Because that, again, that structure is a throwback to the Old Covenant. Now, I know that may upset some people, but it really truly is. When you look through the New Testament and you read about all the things that were done and how they were done, the leadership in the New Testament was not positioned over people, and they were not running organizations. They were simply serving the family of God, the body of Christ, in teaching and equipping and all of that sort of thing, right? So vastly different. So one of the problems that we have that I've seen, and I saw it in my own life, and have seen it, you know, as well as I've tried to help folks and teach and all of that, right, is that for so many of God's kids, we just don't know all that we need to know about who we are, about what God's done for us. And so when I was first creating this curriculum about 10 years ago, I realized that, yeah, I personally, I went through quite an extended time where God began to truly work with me to show me what I needed to know if I was going to function effectively in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ, in a new wineskin, all of that, right? And the path He took me on was through basically the entire book of Romans, which, as you probably know, is one of the biggest sources of revelation concerning the new covenant and concerning what God has done for us through Jesus, through His blood, who we now are as children of God. And so if you've not really ever taken that journey with the Lord, I highly recommend it. I mean, there are probably resources, you know, that I'm not aware of, but you can probably go anywhere on the internet, you know, Christian bookstore, even Amazon.com, and find someone who has put together, you know, a study manual on the book of Romans. As I went through it personally, I broke it down into segments and overall topics, you know, to kind of help me focus on what God needed me to know and what He needs all of us to know. It's like chapters 1-3 deal with the fact that we are all born sinners and that we are utterly helpless to change that. There's nothing we can do to change our sinful condition, our sinful nature that we are born into this world with, right? So chapter 4 talks about how God in His grace has saved us through faith. Talks about Abraham and how he believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Very important concept. Chapter 5 talks about how because of the blood of Jesus that we have been fully declared not guilty and reconciled to God, right? Very important truth for us to know. Chapter 6 and 7 talk about the new life, the freedom, how we were crucified with Christ and we now have a new life and a new nature because we were raised with Him, right? When He was resurrected. So our old life, our old nature, our old way of thinking is dead and we need to treat it as dead, right? So that's very important as well. Chapter 8 is such a powerful dissertation on our sonship and all that the benefits to us are of being sons and daughters of God, right? Chapters 9 and 10, Paul kind of takes a little side note there and talks about his passion for Israel. Chapters 12 through 15 talk about how we can enjoy life in the kingdom of God as sons and daughters. So, you know, that rough outline, those are truths that are so foundational that if you're not clear on any of them, you need to be, and you need to take some time to dig into those scriptures and learn who you are, learn what God has done to set you free from whatever the limitations are about, you know, how you see yourself and what you think you're capable of, because that's got to be the foundation. Otherwise, we'll never feel free to truly enter in and do what we're called to do and what we're able to do, what we get to do. That's the key. We get to do some amazing stuff. And, you know, God's not up there, you know, shaking his finger saying, oh, you're a bad Christian. No, he is basically saying, look at all I did for you. Come on, let's learn this together. I want to set you free. I want to show you the amazing things that I've made possible for you as my child. That's his heart. And if you have any other perspective about how God sees you, you need to be set free from that, okay? Because he is not looking at you with disappointment or anger or anything of that nature. No negativity whatsoever. So that's great. So those chapters are going to be very important as a foundation for us to understand. We need to understand these things. We need to live in the reality of these truths, right? And so the idea that we have become something and are becoming something is so important, because unlike what many of us grew up with or perhaps learned in some other ways, we don't go to church because we are the church. You see, church is a state of being, right? We are the body of Christ, the ecclesia, right? We are those who are ecclesia, are the body, are the family, right? And that's such a huge shift in thinking that we just got to focus on that. We got to say, Lord, help me to get that so that I stop viewing church as a place, as an organization, as anything other than my participation in the body of Christ, because that's who we are, right? So very important. And because of that, we can no longer settle for passively watching other people do the work of ministry, right? That's no longer allowed. We don't have the luxury, as they did under the old covenant, of basically being told what to do and we just follow that. No, we are now called to be active participants in whatever is to go on whenever we gather. All right? Very important. We actively participate. We are engaging in the gifts and the anointing that God has put in us and upon us, right? That's what we're going to do. What the gifts are. What do you have? What are your gifts? What, you know, knowing that and being willing to flow in those things is what's crucial if we're going to see new wineskins be effectively activated, right? And again, that the idea that those who are responsible are quote unquote the leaders or the professional clergy. No. We all carry responsibility now for what happens when the new wineskin comes together, when there's a gathering of God's people. We all have a part to play. It's not, well, I'll let so-and-so handle it. No. We can no longer do that. We need to be prepared when we come together. And even if the preparation is just simply, Lord, I'm available. If you want me to say something or do something to minister to someone, you know, as we come together in this meeting, I'm here. I'm ready. Some of you may find that you start to think about certain things and the Lord is showing you something that he wants you to talk about in that gathering. And I'm not talking about a three-point sermon here. I'm just simply talking about something that would be short and simple that you could share that would encourage and hopefully strengthen your brothers and sisters. So that's another thing, right? And part and parcel with all of that, again, is making sure that you see yourself the way he does. You know, if we continue in this religious vein of seeing ourselves as poor, helpless sinners who are worthless and have nothing to offer, well, that's how we'll live. And thankfully, the New Testament is very clear that none of that applies to us anymore. How could it? Because to say that that would, you know, would be my identity would be a reproach against Jesus, who actually lives in me and gives me my new identity. Okay, so that's very important. So because we've been called a royal priesthood, right? That's all about being part of a royal family, right? By the way, if you've not yet checked out the Facebook group that we started a couple of months ago, which is called This Royal Life, do a search for that on Facebook and join that. We have got posts, all kinds of posts and videos where we're sharing our heart about what a royal or an abundant lifestyle actually looks like, right? So that's something you can take advantage of. So a royal priesthood, you know, the concept of priesthood, as we have unfortunately come to understand it, is really based on the old covenant format, which is I, as a, you know, under the old covenant, if I'm a priest, my job is to kind of be the go-between between God and everybody else, right? Now, it's true that there is some aspect of that that we still do, because people in the world who don't know the Lord yet, well, we are representing God to them, but not in the sense that somehow we get to, how can I put it? we don't do for them what they can actually do for themselves. See, that's the difference. You know, people look at a priest and go, well, they're the one that's going to, you know, make things right with God for me. No. We all get to do that. We all have that responsibility. So it's important that we understand that in our representation of God, that's not the role. So now this gets into some interesting areas in Scripture. And I don't want to go too deep into the weeds here. But some of you may have heard and may be aware that there are two different types of priesthood that are talked about in the Bible. The first one, of course, is in the Old Covenant, symbolized by Aaron, who was the first priest in Israel, and his tribe, which was Levi. The Levites became that, you know, elite group from which all the priests were birthed and put into service, right? And so he represents that old style of priesthood. Now, you've also got in the New Testament many different references back to Melchizedek, who was quite an interesting guy. Bible doesn't say anything about his genealogy. He just showed up, right? And, you know, his name means King of Peace, King of Righteousness. And many people think that Melchizedek could be a pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus, that he, you know, appeared in that form back then. You know, he serves Abraham. He actually has communion with Abraham, which is fascinating. But the Bible talks about how Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, right? Now, again, this gets into some pretty deep theology, which I typically don't like to get into here because it's really not the place for it. My goal here is to kind of give you insight into what's possible for us as sons and daughters and, you know, a little bit of what that looks like, encouragement to step into that role. But I think it's important to at least touch on this so that you understand that the old priesthood of the old covenant is gone. It's dead and gone. And that there is a new priesthood that Jesus fulfilled and fulfills after the order of this guy named Melchizedek. And so the idea of the difference here is we're operating before the world to represent the Lord, right? We're not standing to represent people before God, which is what an old covenant priest would do. They would basically be the go-between, right? We're not doing that. We are representing the Lord to the world as someone that has this relationship with him. And we're telling people, we're not going to do anything for you other than tell you, you can have this relationship with the Lord for yourself, right? In other words, we're not going to pray for people because they can't pray for themselves. You know, we're not going to have a relationship with God for people because they can't for themselves. Yes, they can. And that's what we're doing here, right? That's the kind of priesthood we get to function in. There's a couple other thoughts here, right? This is going to blow your mind if you've never heard this before. The old covenant priesthood was all about telling people what they were doing wrong. It was sin-focused. It was constantly telling people, you are sinning and you need to make sacrifice to atone for your sins. Well, under the new covenant, Jesus is the one final sacrifice for sin. So we don't focus on sin from the standpoint of, wow, you better straighten up and fly right because otherwise God's not going to love you anymore. That's done with. God loves everybody and is wanting everyone to have a relationship with him so that we're freed from the power of sin. So what we do is we tell people, and what I try to do here every day on this program, is to reveal what righteousness looks like. This is who you get to be. You get to be like Jesus. You get to have all of the wonderful characteristics of Christ: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know, all the fruit of the Spirit, all of the authority and the power that Jesus wielded, the things that he did, the miracles. We get to do that. See, our focus is on the righteousness of Christ, which has been made available to us, and how we can invite people into a lifestyle that is so vastly superior to what we lived before we knew Christ. So this is a just remarkable change of perspective and change of purpose as a new covenant royal priest that we get to do for people. So if, you know, you've been raised in an environment that was sin focused, it's time to step out of that. Again, God is not ignoring sin. What he's doing is saying, I've dealt with it. Could I get you out of it now into the kind of life that I always wanted for you to have? Okay. And so that's the focus. That's what we need to understand about being a royal priest, is that we absolutely get to tell people about what's possible for them if they'll just say yes to Jesus, because he's done everything there needs to be done to make that possible for us, right? He's taken sin out of the picture. He's the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. So that's an important thing. Our priority as new covenant priests, as royal priests, is people. We are not focused on ritual and liturgy and all of those kinds of things, which is what an old covenant priest does. They've got to follow all of that stuff. That's their job. Well, it's not our job. There is none of that for us. Our job is loving people and serving people and being carriers of the presence of God so that people can experience God for themselves and make that choice about coming into relationship with him. So just some, you know, thoughts to throw your way to hopefully give you a different perspective about what this looks like. This, what I've just described to you today is absolutely your potential in Christ. You are as qualified as I am or as any other believer is, any other follower of Christ. We're all qualified by Him to function in these ways. And it is crucial that we learn how to function in these ways so that when we gather in that new wineskin where Jesus is the head and where Holy Spirit calls the shots, we're all free to be able to do whatever He shows each of us to do and whatever He's showing that He wants us to do together, right? This is the key. So I encourage you, look at whatever might still be kicking around in your thinking that makes you feel like, oh, I don't know. I don't think I can do that. That's a lie, all right? You need to reject it, repent, throw it out, and embrace the truth of who you really, really are as a son, as a daughter of the Most High, part of this amazing body of Christ. All right. Hope this is helpful and encouraging. Again, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. I'd love to chat with you. Again, I'm just trying to help everybody that's watching and listening to this to be in the right spot, right position, right mindset, so that all this stuff that the Lord is doing can really accelerate. That's my heart. I want to see Him so happy and satisfied that we are actually functioning the way He has desired from the very beginning. So, hallelujah.
For more information about Kingdom Training Institute, visit our website, www.kingdomti.com.